Support for this podcast and the following message come from Deloitte, a global leader in digital transformation, helping clients apply technologies like cloud and AI to their unique business challenges. Deloitte.com/look again.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in London, joining you with the definitive tech compatibility questions every couple needs to answer immediately. Ones like, should the bedroom be a device-free zone, or which online activities count as cheating? How to reduce fights with your partner over tech, after these tech headlines. This week, Facebook rolled out a substantial revamp of its website and mobile app, and the Journal says CEO Mark Zuckerberg seeks to address criticism Facebook is receiving as of late. The big theme is groups. Wall Street Journal reporter Jeff Horwitz explains.
Giving people an alternative to putting it all out there for the whole internet is definitely a priority for the company. It's very central to the redesign. So a big thing is groups.
For substantial coverage of all things Facebook F8 conference, head to wsj.com/tech. A new study finds that online ad fraud is down, or at least it's harder to detect. Marketers are expected to waste $5.8 billion this year on buying online ads that will be viewed by bots instead of humans. And a study published found an 11% decline from the amount lost to fraud in 2017. The journal goes into how fraud detection companies have created new technology to detect and block bots, making ad-free schemes more costly. The greatest strides against ad frauds have actually been in desktop display advertising. Such ads made up the majority of ad impressions. And a federal judge approved a new deal clarifying how Tesla must oversee Elon Musk's use of Twitter, an outcome that erases the risk Musk would be punished for violating the original agreement. The modified order specifies a list of financial milestones and other events that Mr. Musk can't tweet about without pre-approval from Tesla lawyers. The inventory is more specific than Mr. Musk's original deal, which wanted a broad policy restricting what he could say without the permission of gatekeepers. On another note, the Journal also reports that Tesla is looking to raise as much as $2.3 billion through a bond sale and public offering of its shares after a worse-than-expected quarter heightened concerns about the company's cash on hand. Coming up, tech compatibility. It's a thing. How couples can get it right.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Deloitte, a global leader in digital transformation, helping clients apply technologies like cloud and AI to their unique business challenges. Deloitte.com/look again.
Couples fight about money, kids, semantics. But the times have landed us upon a new frontier, technology. The Wall Street Journal's Charlie Turner has more.
Couples have fought about anything and everything, but the Wall Street Journal says now there's a whole new frontier for spousal conflict. Arguments over who uses or how to use smartphones, laptops, social media, the possibilities for conflicts between couples seem endless. Wall Street Journal contributor Alexandra Samuel is the author of Work Smarter with Social Media. She's constructed a roadmap of the tech challenges that are most important for spouses or partners to negotiate. And Alexandra joins us via Skype. As I understand this, Alexandra, couples are likely to use this technology differently, and there will probably be a lot of arguing unless they communicate and set some ground rules.
Absolutely. I mean, I hear from a lot of friends and colleagues who struggle with these issues because how we use technology is intensely personal, has a huge impact on our lifestyle and our relationships. And so when we're not in sync with our spouse about how we want technology to play a role in our lives, it can cause a lot of conflict, misunderstanding, and even hurt feelings.
Your article at WSJ.com can be found in Journal Reports Healthcare. It's called The 10 Tech Compatibility Questions Every Couple Needs to Answer. Let's dive into some of these. First of all, number one on your list is, what can we share about our relationship online?
Yeah, that's a really crucial question in the social media era because so many of us now really live our lives out loud. And, you know, I personally am the kind of person where if I haven't put it on Facebook, it didn't happen. But I am told there are some people who still value such things as privacy and discretion. And so if you're the kind of person who Instagrams every moment of your day, but your partner is more private, it can be a real challenge if you're sharing moments in your family life, moments in your relationship, or even, you know, sometimes gripes about your spouse. And that's why I really recommend that people always have that conversation, you know, pretty early, frankly, in your relationship about what you're going to share online and whether you want to check with one another before you post anything that has to do with both of you.
Another question that you say spouses or partners should explore is when to unplug. That's got to be a biggie, especially if one person's always on the cell phone and it's annoying to the other.
Absolutely. And actually, that was the starting point for this whole story. I have a dear friend who was in a relationship where, you know, she is a pretty moderate tech user and her partner was a very heavy tech user. And so they would have these fights because when they went out on dates, he would want to be on his phone. She didn't want to be on her phone at all. And so for her, it was really distressing that he would have his phone out at the dinner table. Whereas, you know, my husband and I are identifiable in all of our favorite restaurants because we are both on our phones the entire time. So it's not that there's any one right answer. I mean, I'm sure there are people who would argue it would be better for our marriage if we occasionally looked up from the screen. But what really matters is that you're either on the same page, or if you're not on the same page, that you reach some kind of negotiated agreement about when you're going to set the devices aside and when you're going to both, you know, geek out.
Another one you should explore, or couples should explore, Alexandra, in your article, is who manages which technologies? I guess if your tech budget is big, some family organization of tech is definitely required.
Yeah, well, I mean, tech chores are now a big part of a lot of our lives. I mean, a few years ago when I left my job, I joked that I was leaving so that I could just dedicate myself full time to managing all of our family's devices, because sometimes it does feel like a full time job, you know, particularly if you have kids and you're also managing your kids' devices. So, you know, in our family, we have an understanding because we're both nerds. We've sort of divided up the chores. So, for example, you know, I look after all of our phone connectivity and phone plans and all the kids' parental controls. And my husband is the guy who's in charge of the actual home network and making sure our Wi-Fi connectivity works. And, you know, I recognize that in families where one person is more of the techie than the other, it might be that one person does virtually all the tech management. But if you're doing that, you need to recognize that as a significant contribution to household chores. And maybe the other person then does all the laundry. Or maybe the less nerdy person still takes on one piece of the tech responsibility just so they don't become completely dependent on their spouse's know-how.
From responsibility to sharing, another question that should be explored is how much of our tech will we share and, you know, how much will we keep separate?
Yeah, and that's a really tricky one, particularly, you know, if you're a family that has like one computer at home. And what I recommend for families that are sharing devices is that you set up separate accounts for each person. So even if you and your husband share a computer after hours, you can set up your device so that each of you has a separate account and you're not going to see each other's emails. I'm much more nervous about people sharing accounts for communication because really there's nothing worse than, you know, sending a Facebook message to somebody and discovering that their partner also has access to it. The other thing I will say personally is a huge pain point in our family are, you know, devices and adapters. I mean, device cables and adapters. I mean, it seems like there is no number of lightning cables that ensures that I will have access to a lightning cable. No matter how many of them I buy, somebody else in the family walks off with them. So I've taken to buying cables in different colors, and everybody in the family has their own color scheme for their cables. Everybody's computer adapter has duct tape in a color scheme. And that way we aren't walking off with one another's crucial computer technologies.
And finally, the final question that couples should really ask is, should we harmonize our tech? Meaning what, the more similar type devices that couples possess, the better?
Well, I think it depends on the couple. But, you know, I will confess that when I look back on the early days of my own marriage, I was a little gun shy about getting married. And then I sort of somehow crossed over the threshold and was ready to commit. And in retrospect, I realized that what changed in the month before I committed is that my husband finally gave up his Windows machine and switched to the Mac. And, you know, let's be honest, like there's only so many differences you can bridge in a marriage. I'm Jewish. My husband's not Jewish. You know, it's one thing to have that kind of religious difference. I wasn't prepared to also have like a religious difference on our computer platform. Now, admittedly, not every family or not every couple is as tech obsessed with us. I can imagine there may be marriages where the choice of operating system is not like the fundamental decision in which your marriage is based.
Right.
But even if you're like a normal person who doesn't define yourself by your operating system, there's a lot to be said for sharing certain kinds of technology choices with your spouse. You can use the same accessories. You can help each other with tech problems. And so if you and your partner are going to be on different platforms, you just have to recognize that there are certain ways in which you will never be harmonized.
Wall Street Journal contributor Alexandra Samuel, her article can be found at WSJ.com, the 10 tech compatibility questions every couple needs to answer. Alexandra is the author of Work Smarter with Social Media. Alexandra Samuel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's Tech News Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal.